I'm Anthony K of Sports Fluent, and I'm here as always with Jermaine from Chilltown Hoops. Together, if you don't know, which you should, we are Fluent and Chill. This week's episode, it's jam-packed. Of course, we got Mail Drop, where we take all your questions and answer them. We've got a conspiracy involving the GOAT. Maybe I'll just call him what he's really called, the King. NBA All-Star Weekend. It's the 75th anniversary. We're going to talk about the top 75 list. The order has been a little tricky, so we're going to dive into that. But first, every week, we're going to pick a position in the NFL. I'm going to bring up what I think to be the top five people at that position that could be on the move, and we're going to find them a landing spot. So, Jay, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, we're kicking it off this week with the most important position in the game.
The primary ball handler.
The quarterback. What everybody's been looking for. Who's going to be my quarterback? Every team that loses, who's going to be my quarterback? That's always the question. Once we get that solved, and I always bring up, I was against Joe Burrow going to the Bengals. I said, the Bengals have so many needs. Don't do that. But they proved me wrong because they took the most important position and look where they are now. So, you know, I'll eat a little crow. I was wrong. Here we go. Start with number one. Maybe the most talented quarterback in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers. It looks like a split from his fiance and possibly a split from his only team he's ever known, the Green Bay Packers. Where should he go, if anywhere?
Well, Tone, I look at this Packer group, and I think this is the most talented group that he was on since they went to the bowl game in 2011, right? But sometimes things just run their course. I don't particularly like him going anywhere else, but if I look at what's going on in the AFC, I'm staying out of the AFC. And the reason why I'm staying out of the AFC is because the AFC is jam-packed. I don't want nothing to do with Mahomes. I don't want nothing to do with Herbert. I don't want nothing to do with Burrow. I could keep going when we're talking about quarterbacks in the AFC. If I was in a position where I had my pick, I could go to Cleveland, which is in the AFC, because they got a really good situation there. But they also have a wide receiver issue, Tone. They still got to deal with Landry. They still got to deal with Landry, who's not under contract. I don't think he's under contract after this season. So when I think about a good landing spot for him, to be honest with you, I just don't see anything better than what's going on in Green Bay, because I think that that's the best opportunity for him to win.
Well, coming from a Bears fan, that is blasphemous. We need to get him out of the NFC North.
Absolutely.
So here's what I think. Here's what I think.
NFC North in particular.
Let's get out of the NFC North. Now, I'd love to see him in the AFC, right? I want to get rid of him completely from the NFC. But I want to be realistic as well, because a lot of talk about Denver. But I'm just thinking, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm in the last phase of my career. I'm not saying he's washed, but he's in the last phase because he's the MVP. He's in the last phase of his career.
How many more years do you think he got, Tom, at this level?
At this level, 3 in the NFL, 5. I think he stretches it to 5, but I think 2-3 years at this level, I think he's still talented enough. Okay. So I think, does he want to go to Denver? Well, okay, it might be set up for him nicely in terms of they got a defense, they've got some good young receivers, okay, running game. Like they're in a position, like they need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. However, I'm in a division with what I think to be an improved Raiders team, with Josh McDaniels as head coach, because they're already, we know they're talented with Derek Carr and Waller and et cetera. All they need is a wide receiver, by the way. Their defense is pretty good. You've got the Los Angeles Chargers, your team, to take the AFC with a young quarterback, an amazing young quarterback in Justin Herbert. Oh, by the way, there's another team. The Kansas City Chiefs. I'm staying out of that division. There's nothing you could do to get me to go into that division. And when you say the conference, the AFC, that's, you still got the bells are ringing for the Bills. I don't know if you heard that. You've got the Patriots are now on the come up. You obviously got the Bengals. The Browns still are a good, like if you look at their collection of talent, Pittsburgh, does Pittsburgh ever miss the playoffs? I'm assuming they're going to upgrade from Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. You could probably put a corpse in there and be better at quarterback. So now they're going to be in a better position. Oh, by the way, 2 years ago, the MVP of the league, Lamar Jackson, is going to come back and lead that Baltimore Ravens team. I don't want any part of the AFC.
That's so not quarterback phone, just in the AFC just, that you mentioned. Just,
yeah, and I'm sure I missed. I'm sure I missed a bunch.
I don't want nothing to do with
that. I want nothing to do with that. So now I look at it, I'm like, okay, I'm leaving in my head, right? You've said he should stay in Green Bay. So let's take that out of the mix. I'm leaving. Is he going to Chicago? No. Minnesota? No. You know, Green Bay won't let that happen. And Detroit. Well, no one wants to go to Detroit. Let's be honest.
Why wouldn't Green Bay let that happen, Tony? Let it happen with Favre.
No, he had to go to the Jets first.
He did have
to. Remember, they blocked it with everything they could. And I don't know that he wants to do that either. So now I look at, okay, the NFC West. Mm-hmm. Well, Cardinals have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Rams have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Seattle has a quarterback unless Russell Wilson goes somewhere. San Francisco. San Francisco is the one. But then I also think, he goes to San Francisco. I think it's a good matchup, but I have other plans for San Francisco. Again, does he want to go where there's already three elite teams? So he's leaving the North. He's probably not going to the West. In the East, okay, he's not going to Dallas. He's not going to New York. He's not going to Philadelphia. And he's not going to Washington. I think we're pretty – so the East is out. So now it brings me to the NFC South, where I think he can pick his team in the NFC South and win that division just like that. Because the Saints don't have a quarterback. Also don't have a new coach, mind you. Carolina's not a team you have to worry about. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, I think, is still sticking with Matt Ryan, and I don't know why. So he's not going to Atlanta. But he could go walk into Tom Brady's old shoes, slide right into those. With, I would assume they would have to re-sign Chris Godwin, or maybe they convince Davante Adams to take Godwin's place down there. They have Mike Evans. They have O.J. Howard. They have Bruce Arians, who, for all intents and purposes, him and Aaron Rodgers get along. Maybe that's the fit. I think Tampa might be, and only because I have other plans for San Francisco, which we'll get to. But I think you're right. To go back a step, Green Bay might be the best. Just stay where you are. But I like Tampa too. I like Tampa.
When I think about Tampa, I
already warm. Think about it: warm weather, the beach. He's been stuck in Green Bay for how many years?
Not only that, Tom Brady, basically not resurrected his career, but he just continued his greatness there with Bruce Arians, who everybody knows is the quarterback guru. If I'm not mistaken, that's what they called him, the quarterback guru. So he still was rolling. Brady was still rolling when he got with Bruce Arians. Now, Aaron Rodgers has always struck me as that laid-back kind of, yeah, let's just get it done. And he's not really that kind of fiery guy, right? So with that being said, you know, a place like Tampa where the expectations aren't through the roof, Tone, because they just got good over the last 2 years with Brady. Before that, they were solid. They weren't.
He doesn't have to go in and save a franchise with a bad roster.
He does not have to do that. But I actually am not really feeling him. I'm not feeling him in Tampa. And the reason why I'm not feeling him in Tampa because I think that they go younger. And okay. I think we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I think that they go a little bit younger than Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Well, just for a little trivia, this is not TB for Tom Brady, nor is it TB for Tampa Bay. If you know what it's for, put it in the comments. And we'll see. We'll see how smart you guys are. All right. Next quarterback. Is your quarterback in San Francisco, Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy? Mm-hmm. He's not going to be in San Francisco next year, is he?
Unfortunately, he's not, Tone. And I just want you to know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kyle Shanahan is 15 games under 500 without Jimmy G.
Wow.
Without saying it, Jimmy G isn't Aaron Rodgers. He isn't Tom Brady. He isn't, in terms of a talent, he isn't that good. However, when he plays, we win.
He wins. Yeah, he wins games.
When he plays, we win. And I don't want to move off of him because, number one, I don't think Trey is ready yet. And the idea of bringing in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, which I posed the question to you, Tone, if Aaron Rodgers would have come to San Francisco, would we be talking about him like we talk about KD moving from Oklahoma City to Golden State?
No.
And because, and the reason why is because
the 49ers didn't go 15-1 and lose in the Super Bowl, and then he joined them. Mm-hmm. Because that's the equivalent of what KD did.
He actually, but he did lose to them four times though.
Yeah, no, I get that, but you know, that's more of a team just having your number. Every team has a team that has their number, and no matter how good or bad they are, they just find a way to lose to them, or a team finds a way to beat them. So yeah, so I think it's a little different.
So with that being said, I'm looking at Jimmy G, and he's going to be more, he's going to have to move on from San Francisco, which I'm not in favor of. So I'm thinking about a team where I think he would be really good. I love Jimmy G in Tennessee. I think that they would dumb down that offense. I think that their ability with their run game, I think that would supplement a lot of what Jimmy G is. And I think that that would actually enhance a lot of what Jimmy G is. Now, Jimmy G makes mistakes. The mistakes that he makes, even though what you saw in the NFC Championship game, he doesn't do that all the time. That's not something that happens regularly. No, because before this season, that wasn't going on. So him with Derrick Henry and that defense that they have in Tennessee, I think he would be really good.
So you think Tennessee is looking to move on from Ryan Tannehill?
They got everything that they were going to get out of him. And not only did they get everything that they were going to get out of him, they're going the other way. This is a team that was number one in the AFC this season that just passed. With a healthy Derrick Henry, I mean, I think that they go further. There's a reason why they were so run heavy. And I think that with a better quarterback, Tennessee is a team that I think is right there on the doorstep. I look at them like I look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in 02 before they won the Super Bowl. I always felt like, Tony, they were right there and they were missing something. I couldn't figure out what exactly it was that they were missing, whether it was a quarterback, whether it was a wideout. They're missing something. And I feel the same way of all the teams in the league, Tony. I feel the same way about Tennessee. I think they're right there on the doorstep.
And they're missing a quarterback who's not going to make mistakes. Not going to throw three picks.
Big mistakes. Yeah. Because when you get to the playoffs, you're prone to make mistakes because the defense is better, right?
Yeah.
The offense, you deal with a number of different things. But when I look at Jimmy G and I put him in an offense where he doesn't have to do much, and I put him with a workhorse running back like Derrick Henry, I think he thrives in that system.
I actually think that's a good match for him. I like him in Tennessee. I wasn't thinking of them because I feel like they're just going to stick with Tannehill, and I don't know why, but I feel they are. I'd really like to see him in Cleveland. I think with that running game, with that defense, a quarterback who, you know, I like him there. Although I think Jimmy G's, I think a lot of those teams, I think Tennessee and Cleveland stick with what they have. And I think he just ends up on a team that needs a quarterback. So whatever's left, I think he's the last quarterback that comes off and it's just like, okay, you know, Seattle traded Russell Wilson. Okay, hey, we need you as a gap quarterback. Okay, everybody stayed where they are. Well, who needs a quarterback? Denver, Carolina, New Orleans. Like he pops into one of those places where, you know, just the last one left.
All right. Are we sure, Tone, that you like him in Cleveland? Do you like him in Cleveland more than you just want to see Baker Mayfield going? Because I know
how I'd rather see you at quarterback in Cleveland.
So it's not really a situation where
less about what quarterback, it's more about the one that I want out of there.
Yeah, that's what it's
because about. I have so much love for the city of Cleveland and the Browns. And I feel like they're getting a raw deal because they finally have a Super Bowl team. They just have a Pee-wee quarterback. You know, there's a Pop Warner quarterback that they need to get rid of. I'm sorry. And I know, listen, I get it. Some people love him and he's this and he's that. He's not that guy. Like, it's just not that guy. All right, the next one. The next one's interesting because we don't even know. He hasn't played for a year. And when he does, will he be suspended? Is he going to court? Is he going to jail? We don't even know. However, maybe the best quarterback, a top five quarterback, just think about a top five quarterback in the league is, you know, I think available. I know he wants to play. I have, you know, some people that work for the Houston Texans and they tell me he wants to play. Deshaun Watson. I know that you already have. I know you already have a team in mind because we talked about this already.
Well, no young quarterback does not want to play. You're right.
Yeah.
Every young quarterback wants to play. Absolutely, they do. And it was just updated today. I heard it this morning that he's going to be allowed to testify under oath. So this thing is moving forward. So there are no criminal charges, but this thing is moving forward. And I think that this thing will be resolved before the beginning of the next football season. I think this thing will be resolved. And the team that I like the most of all the teams, like you said, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, the team that I love is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love him in Tampa. And the reason why I love him in Tampa is because he gives them a dynamic that they don't have. They already had a guy who can pitch the football in Tom Brady. They already had a pocket presence in Tom Brady and in Jameis Winston. They didn't have a guy who was those two plus athletic like he is, right? His ability to throw the football, his ability to improvise plays, all of that stuff added in to what they have with Leonard Fournette, with Ronald Jones, with Godwin, who I think that they're going to bring back, with Mike Jones. Mike Evans. With those guys, Tone, I think that him on that group, I think that they go right back to the top of the NFC.
So last year, if you remember, when the Falcons drafted Kyle Pitts, mm-hmm. I said, I want Atlanta to trade Matt Ryan to Houston so that'll give Houston a veteran kind of quarterback to get them through this storm because we knew they were in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to trade Matt Ryan and whatever other pieces and get Deshaun Watson to Atlanta. Because I thought Watson with Ridley and Pitts, that would just be such a dynamic offense. Mm-hmm. Since then, obviously that hasn't happened. I'd love to see Deshaun Watson just come back and play in Houston. I don't think that's because I want my coach. You know, I love Lovie Smith. I want him to have a good quarterback. That being said, if I had to pick a landing spot, I'm thinking Deshaun Watson with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dynamic running game, explosive wide receivers, a very stable organization, which is what he needs. A coach like Mike Tomlin, who thick or thin, he's above 500. He's 500 or better. He's in the playoffs every year. Like that is the stable organization that when you're coming out of something so chaotic, mm-hmm. that is the best place to kind of calm. And don't forget, they've also hired Brian Flores. And we know that there's a relationship with Brian Flores and Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying they only hired him for that. Obviously, they hired him because of his defensive ability to help that defense get even better. So you have a great defense, a great defensive coach, a guy who's familiar with the quarterback to bring him in with. If you just think about the Washington, and maybe Juju's going to be back in a little bit better. I'm always forgetting one of their receivers, Claypool. Najee Harris is maybe one of the best young running backs right now. And you got to take advantage of those running backs in their first 3 to 5 years, right? Because that's their lifespan now. You throw Deshaun Watson on that offense. Mm-hmm. Now you're competing with the Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes and the Bengals of that AFC division, because now you've got a dynamic offense that can match, go toe to toe, right? Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger, if it was Ben Roethlisberger 10 years ago, Pittsburgh might be in the bowl game. Right. So that's how close Pittsburgh is you had a guy who we all knew should have retired a year earlier. Mm-hmm. I think then maybe 2 years earlier. Fair enough. So I think I love to see him in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. All right. So I alluded to this guy earlier. Russell Wilson. Looks like the last couple off seasons, Seattle. I don't know if it's the fans. I don't know if it's the media. I don't know if it's him just kind of saying, I'm done with this offensive line. Is he moving on from Seattle?
Two things. Number one, I'm calling you up, the Chicago Bears, and I'm asking you how much you want for the young fella. I got Russell Wilson here. What does it take to bring the young fella out here? That's the first question that I have for you, right? And then number two, when I think about Seattle, Russ has been there. I think we're in year 10. What else are we getting out of him? Just like how you feel about Matt Ryan being in Atlanta, I don't think Russell Wilson is washed. I just think that the time
is. It's time to move, yeah.
I do think that it's time. I think that everything that you've gotten out of him there, I think that that's over. Now, I'm a little bit of a homer when it comes to this because I wouldn't mind seeing him gone from the NFC West. Why? Because Seattle owns my 49ers. Him in particular, 16 games he's played against the 49ers, and he lost twice. So I wouldn't mind seeing Russell Wilson out of the NFC West.
That's fair.
But with that being said, when I look at a team and I look at an organization, like you said, Pittsburgh. Contrary to popular belief, Chicago does not have an unstable organization. They don't. I don't think so. But with that being said, I'm looking at your group. What would it take to get Russell Wilson to Chicago? If I called you up and I said, hand over the young fella, and you tell me, all right, give me two ones, would that get the deal done?
You want Justin and two ones for Russell?
I'm going to give you
Russell. Or you're going to give me Russell and two ones?
I'm going to give you Russell and two ones. Does that
get you? Oh, God. Oh, heck yeah. I'm taking that. But let me ask a question. How many years does Russ have left?
Well, he's 32. So you just told me Aaron Rodgers got 5 years and he's 38. So if that's the case, Russ got 10 years. He got another decade.
All right. Then I'm good. I'll do that deal. And I think I don't think we have a great offensive line, but I think we have a better offensive line than the Seahawks do.
Are you going to lose Allen Robinson?
Yeah, Allen Robinson is gone. Unless we bring in Russell, and that's the, hey, we're going to finally get you a quarterback. Because Allen Robinson has never had a top-tier quarterback, not even in high school, like never. I think that might be the thing that could keep him in Chicago. But we have some good wide receivers. Like Darryl Mooney's a good young receiver. If there's, you know, and we're good at running back. Like I'd like the combination of Montgomery and Herbert. Like I think that Khalil Herbert, like I think that's a really solid backfield. Our defense is good. New coaches are coming in now, so we'll see how that works out. So yeah, I don't hate that idea. Now I think Russ, look, I think all the talk, Russ and Pete Carroll moving on from Seattle, I don't think either thing happens. If it did, I'd like to see Russ in Carolina. I don't know if CMC is healthy, but they need to do something to kind of stabilize that franchise. And a quarterback like Russ could be that guy. They're not that far off. I know people, you know, talk about it, but like, look what they did last season with who they have a quarterback.
Sam Darnold.
Who was their best player at CMC who was hurt? Like Sam Darnold and Cam, like, I don't know, like you know, a quarterback can make a significant difference. So, you know, had Sean Payton stayed, I probably would have said maybe the Saints. Mm-hmm. But I want to, I don't know why. I see him in Seattle. I see him in Carolina. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's a gut thing that would make sense to me. Especially if nobody mm-hmm. goes to, like, no one significant goes to Tampa or New Orleans, right? Atlanta is who they are. Like, you could really make a good pitch that, hey, come to Carolina and you could win this division because you're also in a division right now where you got to deal with, I know you say he owns the 49ers, but you got to deal with the 49ers. You got to deal with the defending Super Bowl champs in the Rams. You got to deal with the Cardinals. Like you got some tough teams to deal with.
Three teams out that division making playoffs.
Yeah.
More the division did that. So basically the NFC West is a nightmare.
Yeah. I'd go to Carolina, win the division, host a home game, host a playoff game. Why not? Right. All right. Here's the last one. I didn't tell you this one, so you don't know what's coming. Tom Brady.
Tone, give it up, Tone. He's over. He's hanging him up. He's not coming to the 49ers. He's not. He's not coming to the 49ers. He's
Tom Brady to the 49ers. Come on.
He's over. He's
Tom Brady done. To the 49ers. Come home. No, come home. He's not done. He's not done.
He's over.
Let me ask you a question. Who won the MVP this year?
Aaron Rodgers.
Who was second?
Tom Brady.
He's not done. I let me give you a little Kobe. Job finished? My job not finished?
Job actually is finished.
It's not finished.
I've been to the Super Bowl 7 times in 10 years. I finished second.
But he didn't win a Super Bowl with his home team. The team he grew up watching and idolizing, Joe Montana, with little stars in his eyes as he didn't happen yet.
If he was coming to San Francisco, he would have came already. We're talking about a dude who's going to be 45 years old.
He probably wanted to come to San Francisco, and management there was crazy enough to say, Jimmy G, we're good, which is probably why he posted, you know where I wanted to go, and they wanted to stick with that idiot quarterback or whatever the heck he said.
You are aware that Tom Brady is the same age as Trey Lance's father.
So good. That's excellent. He can mentor the young man because he needs.
Unbelievable.
he can father figure. Listen, you know, I am on a show called Player's Choice Gridiron where all we do is talk football. And there's a guy on that show, Dub, who's 20, just turned 23, old enough to be my son. Why am I there? I need to teach him and bring him along and mentor him. That's what Tom Brady's going to do. That's what Tom Brady's going to do with Trey Lance.
Still elite. I will not say. I will.
You tell him. Hold on. You're telling me Tom Brady says, you know what? I want to go to San Francisco and win a Super Bowl. You're saying no?
Yes. And you know why he's saying?
You're saying no?
He's saying no.
You. I said you are saying no.
I'm not going to say no to him. I'm not. I would be lying if I said I'm going to say no because I would not say no to him. Because I'm thinking about Tom Brady coming to San Francisco. I think we right back at the top of the NFC West. I think we are with Tom Brady. No question about that. But I think that it's time. I think his time is up. I think that if he was coming to San Francisco, he would have already been there. That's number one. Number two, I think that he's over it. And it's going to be it's going to take a second. But I think that with his family, it's fresh right now. And the reason why you're bringing this up, Tom, because it's fresh. And let me give it
I'm bringing it up because he was second in MVP, probably should have won.
I thought he was going to win the league MVP.
When they lost games, you saw him slamming iPads on the ground, throwing stuff. The fire is there. That doesn't just go out. It doesn't just go out. Now, if I would have seen I hate to bring up my guy, but if I would have seen like a reaction like Jay Cutler, like, oh, we lost? Then I'd say, okay, he's done. But yeah, Ben Roethlisberger. I got to play again. I made the playoffs. Right? Like, if I would have saw that, different conversation. I saw fire. I see fire in those eyes, man. I don't see a guy that's ready to quit.
He looked like Brady came into the playoffs like, we can win it again. That's how he was looking.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the playoffs like, okay, let's see what happens. No, he was in the playoffs like, we can win this thing.
We can win it. Because I feel that's, look, ideally, I think he wants to win a Super Bowl and be like, all right, I'm out. You know, like Kobe, you know, dropping 60 and be like, yo, Mamba out.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to go out like that, losing like that. I don't think that sits well with him. That's why I think he left the door open a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's not, listen, he's at the age now. It's not like Jordan retiring in his 30s. He can't take a year off or a year and a half off and then say, oh, okay, I'm coming back. No, he has to come back now or never. Yeah. All right. So let us know. Here's the five quarterbacks. You tell us their landing spots. You got Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Where are they going? Hit us up in the comments. If you see this on TikTok, you can stitch it, duet it. All right. NBA, we'll switch it to the NBA. NBA All-Star Weekend started off with a bang, ended with a bang in the middle. What was your favorite part of All-Star Weekend?
My favorite part of All-Star Weekend used to be the dunk contest.
We're gonna get to that. What was your favorite?
My favorite part of All-Star Weekend has become, I'm a huge fan of the skills competition. The skills competition has surpassed. I'm almost ready to say that it has surpassed the dunk contest, but I'm a huge fan of the skills competition because of the variety of guys that are in it and how they've improved. Not just the competition, but you know, the obstacles in it. I think that's so awesome. I always watch the skills competition. That and the long ball. And the reason why, Tone, is because with the skills competition and with the long ball competition, the best guys get in it, right?
Yep. Yep.
The best players get in the skills competition. The best players, we've seen Steph Curry in the long ball competition. We've seen multiple times Klay Thompson in the long ball competition. So I'm a huge fan of the skills competition and the long ball. I watched the Rising Stars game, but it doesn't seem as competitive as I would like for it to seem. It looks more like a, okay, you go, as opposed to like when we were kids, Tone, when Magic and Isaiah, Magic and Bird, and you know, Jordan and Barkley, and these guys played in the All-Star game. They took it very seriously.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was not, you know, okay, I'm gonna let you score. No, we're gonna go at it.
Remember Kobe? In the All-Star game?
Absolutely.
Then again, it wasn't that long ago Kyle Lowry was taking a charge. So there's been some moments.
We're talking about Dwayne Wade breaking Kobe nose in the All-Star game. So
yeah.
It used to be competitive. It's not like that anymore, man. And that's not to say that it's not as competitive as it used to be. But when I look at the rising stars, I'd like for it to be more competitive than it is.
You gotta put some money down, give them a reason to play. Yeah, for me, I got to tell you, I didn't like the idea of the skills challenge. I thought it was going to be bad. Man, it's fun to watch. I really enjoy it. So I don't want to say that's my favorite. I think the game was my favorite part. Mm-hmm. I like the you know, doing it for charity. I like that. I will say I kind of miss the East versus West. I do miss the East versus West. I get the whole picking of players. We had a lot of fun doing our draft, but I felt like they created a little bit more of a rivalry, right? And I think the rivalries are starting to fade away, whether it's team with team, East, West. So I do want to bring that back a little bit. But other than that, I think the game got competitive at the end, right, which that's what's expected, right? It's, hey, we got to here. And because there's something to play for. So I think you're right. Maybe add that kind of component to the Rising Stars and make it a little bit more competitive.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Tone, because I posed the question to you also, because we're going away from those rivalries. Tone, how do you feel about them wanting to get rid of the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference playoffs and just have 16 teams?
I don't like it, but I like it. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you both reasons. I like it because there are teams sometimes in the East or the West that are sub 500 that shouldn't be in the playoffs. And it make more sense to have 10 teams from the West and 6 teams from the East as an example, or the other way around, than having just the top 8 in each conference if they don't have, right? Like when you see teams with losing records in the playoffs, I don't like that. So that's why I like it. Why I don't like the 16 is then you're getting rid of all those kind of those playoff matchups. Like I remember growing up, right, in the 90s, Knicks and Heat. That was a series you wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. The Bulls and Pacers, the Bulls and Knicks. Mm-hmm. Those were things you wanted to watch. It could create new ones. Mm-hmm. But the other part is that you also introduce that I think is, I get it, private jets now and stuff, but you might have the Lakers have to play the Knicks.
How about the Trailblazers in the
Trailblazers? The Trailblazers and the Heat, right? And now you're traveling over a 7-game series in the first round. Yeah. I think that doesn't give us the best product, right? People might be so, and that's why I'm worried about that.
And that's why I asked you that, Tone, because when I look at the All-Star game, which I'm a huge fan of what the All-Star game used to be, and that rivalry between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, right? So now we get to pick our teams, which I understand that you want to see the better players against the better players. But with that being said, if we're going to play, let's play. And I like how the format that they came up, all right, the first team to 50.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. I do like that.
And now we're making it more competitive, which I don't think we should have to do that, but the fact that we had to do that, I mean, it is what it is. So I'm a fan of the All-Star game, but I'm not a fan of it as much as I used to be. I still watch it. I'm definitely more a fan of the festivities before the All-Star.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wasn't going to ask you this, but just quickly, do you feel like the trade deadline should be after the All-Star game? Because it's kind of weird that a player's on a team. Now, James Harden was hurt this year, for example, but he's one that got traded. There's others that got traded. All-Stars are getting traded right before the All-Star game, and now they go from East to West.
I actually think that the trade deadline should be a little bit further in. So when I think about the trade deadline being in February, half the season already over for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
Half the season is
over. Oh, so you're saying earlier in the season.
I think that's
I'm trying to move it later. You're trying to move it earlier?
Yeah, I think it should be a little early. I think that if you had the schedule, Tone, by half the season is over, that's when the trade deadline should be.
Okay. I forgot to mention what my favorite part of the All-Star game was. Mm-hmm. So last week we did an NBA All-Star redraft where I played KD, Jay played LeBron, and we drafted players. So I'm just going to run through my team real quick. So obviously I had KD, who was inactive. Mm-hmm. Giannis, Steph Curry, John Morant, Kat, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul, who I'm counting as active because he played for 30 seconds, but now he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Yep. DeJounte Murray, Rudy Gobert, Andrew Wiggins, Fred VanVleet, James Harden, who was also inactive. So I had two inactives, and Darius Garland. Those guys, so I had 11 active players, including Chris Paul. They accumulated 157 points. Your team, which was, now you know where I'm going, had LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Luka, Jokic, Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, who was inactive, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, Jimmy Butler, LaMelo Ball, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker, also had 11 active players, accumulated 156 points. So Team Fluent wins! There's a couple of players that we didn't play. Like, there was some replacement players, whatever. Jared Allen, for example, wasn't on a team. But we both had, out of the 11 we picked, I win by one. Should you have gotten Jared Allen, you would have won by one. If I had Jared Allen, I would have won by three. But I've taken what we actually picked, 157-156, in the most exciting All-Star game ever. Thanks to 50 points for my guy, Steph.
Took 50.
50.
Took 50 to win it. 50. Hey,
whatever it takes, yeah, man. We're going to do that again for sure. All right. One of the other things that came out of two things, really, out of the NBL, because it was the 75th anniversary. We have a 75th team. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, because this person's in that top 75, obviously, LeBron James said, I'll do anything to play with Bronny. I'm going to play until Bronny gets drafted. Is Bronny getting drafted? Or is he, if he was on the cusp of getting, he's going to get drafted now, right? Because LeBron James said.
No question about that.
If you're a team, are you tanking for Bronny?
I don't know if I'm tanking for him, because I don't know if he's a
fan. Or when is he coming out? Next year, well, or the year out?
Well, he comes out of high school, but he's going to have to go to school.
So. That's what I'm saying. He needs 1 year out. So we're 2 years away?
Probably, yeah, because I think this is his senior year coming up. After he finishes next year, the 20.
Right. I'm saying two NBA seasons.
Yeah.
So Bron's going to be 40.
Yeah, he'll be close to 40. And James has already made it clear that I want to play with my son, which means that, and he said wherever it is, that's where he's
going. Yeah, wherever.
So if Oklahoma City drafts Bronny, we move to Oklahoma City. If Minnesota drafts Bronny,
do you think he's going to do that, or will he use his clout to get another team to draft him? Are you taking Bronny first overall just to get Bron for a 40-year-old Bron for a year?
No, not if we're talking about a 36-year-old Bron, that's something
different. Yeah, maybe.
We're talking about 40-year-old Bron, who's going to be box office, by the way, Tone. Let's make
sure. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be.
You know, it's going to be the Knicks, right?
Yeah, it could very well. They take him with the eighth pick and pass on quite possibly the best two guard in NBA history, because you know we want to make some money and we get LeBron James in the Knicks uniform probably 13 or 14 years too late, but you got him. I absolutely think that this helps his draft stock. Considering, like, I watch him as a player, I think he's about 6'3". As of right now, I don't think he's going to grow much more. I'll be surprised if he grows much more. I can see him topping that at about 6'4", 6'5". That would not surprise me. And I think that him as a player, I think he's a lot smarter for his age because of.
Listen, I'm sure he's got the IQ in that, but I've never seen have you ever seen a superstar, a player's superstar, a superstar whose son came out and was better?
No,
or as good. When you think of players, right? I think of Kobe. Kobe's dad wasn't a superstar.
No, he was not.
Gary Trent Jr. No offense to Gary Trent Sr., but he wasn't a superstar. But I think he's better. Like, I don't know that I've seen
Kenyon Martin. His son wasn't a super. Kenyon Martin wasn't a superstar,
right? Tim Hardaway. Like, is his son better?
No, he's not.
Right. So there's, so this would be the first time ever in history if he comes out and even half of what his dad did, like the bar is so high that LeBron set, you're going to be, no offense, you're going to be disappointed with Bronny, right? Like, he's not going to be LeBron.
I'm, to be honest with you, Tone, I look at LeBron James like I look at Jordan and his kids. If I was coming out, I wouldn't have touched the basketball because I ain't never going to be that good. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be that good. So, and that's what you're going to expect from me, because you see what my father
did. You got the name, yeah.
Right. And my last name's Jordan, or my last name's James. So you expect that from me. I'm never going to be that good. So absolutely not. But to answer your question, Tone, absolutely, I think that a team This is skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Brian's draft stock strictly because his father has made it clear. No matter.
Yeah, wherever it is, Sacramento, I'm coming. Yep. Yeah.
No matter where he is, and they're not going to say no, Tone.
No.
To a
no.
39-year-old LeBron James. They're not saying no to him.
No, of course you're bringing him up. He also left the door open to return to Cleveland. Would you take him back for a third?
Listen, man, and I caught a lot of heat for this. No. We're doing something in Cleveland. We got something going. And I really dig the progress of these kids. I dig the progress of Garland. I dig the progress of Mobley and Markin and Okoro and Allen. I dig the process. James shows up, and now what happens is this thing gets accelerated the same way it did in Los Angeles with Brandon Ingram, with Lonzo Ball, with Kuzma. And now what you're going to have to – now what you're going to look at is now we might have to start trading people. Now yeah, we might – because
no.
I don't want to –
I will say this. There's one scenario. One scenario and only one.
Tone, I'm not interested in trading nobody.
No, you're going to love this one.
Here we go.
If he signs in Cleveland for one day so he can retire a Cavalier.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
That's the only way. That's the only way I want him back. Okay, yeah, you brought the city a title. You're from Akron nearby because he's very quick to say, I'm not coming home. I'm not from Cleveland. I'm from Akron. Mm-hmm. All right, so close enough. You're going, you know, to a city close to your home. Mm-hmm. And then I'm okay with that. But yeah, I wouldn't mess up what they're doing because they're building it now the right way. Right. They've got really good young talent. They're exceeding expectations. Don't mess it up. Don't start trading away. Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know how I feel about him, but we got something going here, man. I think we good.
All right. So the other thing was, like I said before, is a 75, and they came out with their rankings now. You know, originally they just said, here's our 75. Mm-hmm. Now they came out and said, okay, well, here's in order the 75. Give me kind of your top three, either too high, too low. I question this. Like, give me just the top three players that are in the wrong spot.
Well, they had Oscar Robertson at 9. I don't have Oscar Robertson as a top 10 player all time. I think that was a bit high for him. And the reason why I'm saying that, Tone, is because when I look at the top 75 anniversary team, ESPN in 2016 came out with a top 100 team of all time. And with this team, this was very similar. So Oscar Robertson is at 9 on the top 75 team. Well, on the top 100 team, he was 13. So what has Oscar Robertson done from 2016 to today to move up 5 spots? Kevin Durant was, I think, 16 during that time. He moved up to 12 in 2016. So guys like Dr. J stayed where they were. Moses Malone stayed where they were. Hakeem Olajuwon moving down to 13. I'm trying to make sense, Tone, of how guys.
It's interesting that it looked like they flopped Hakeem and I have him the other way. I have Hakeem, I think, at 9 and Oscar at 13 or right. Some. I know he's in my top 15. I don't know exactly.
Right. So when I think about Giannis being 18, I mean, is Giannis a top 20 player all time at the year 9?
He might be. He might be.
At the year 9, though, Tone?
He might be.
Because what it sounds to me like, they're going off of winning, which I could – what's the gold
standard of greatness? Okay, yeah.
The gold standard of greatness is winning. I can appreciate that. So if that's true, then that means that Bill Russell need to be at the
top. Have to be one, yeah.
Bill Russell got to be at the top of the – Bill Russell can't be in the top 5. He can't be in the top 10. He's got to be at the top of the list, right? So when I think about guys like, let's see, Scottie Pippen was – they got him at 32 on the anniversary team. Well, in 2016, ESPN had him at 25. What happened to Scottie Pippen that he moved down 7 spots?
He went crazy.
All of these guys, I'm trying to make sense of it. These guys,
I told you Scottie Pippen went crazy.
That's probably the only thing. He wrote a book and kind of lost his
mind. He wrote a book, yeah.
I have I think about, like I said, Kevin Durant at 12. I don't know if I'm feeling Kevin Durant at 12. Kobe Bryant, when they came out with the list in 2016, they had Kobe at 12. What did Kobe do from 16 to today to go from 12 to being a top 10 player all time?
Well, at 10, he tragically passed.
Is that what it is? The fact that he passed?
I think, like for me, you know already I had him in my top 10. He's right. My favorite player of all time. Right. But I think him passing, I think, did change the narrative about Kobe a little bit.
And you can definitely make that case. I think Jerry West moving all the way down to 19. I'm thinking, how did Jerry West go from when you made this list? I think they had Jerry West at 12. Jerry West is 19 now. I'm thinking, damn, what did Jerry West do to drop all the way to 19 when a lot of these guys, Giannis is the only new guy. Giannis, Kevin Durant, and Bryant are the only new guys on the list. So with that being said, Jerry West drops all the way to 19 from 12. That was really interesting for me. And another one, which I thought was really eye-popping, would be Nash. Nash was top 30 in 2016. Nash drops all the way to 37. Like, how does Nash drop to 37 when
Bob? I think the problem when you're ranking them, right? I don't think they tell you the criteria. Yeah. And I don't think the criteria stays consistent either. Right? You start to make a list and then it's like, oh, well, I put this person first I put this person seventh because they're a winner. But then you have someone who's at 15 who didn't win as much. So it's like, yeah, but, and there's always these yeah, but moments. And I think what changes, I'll tell you what really changed, it's probably different people picking. Let's be honest, the group of people from 2016 to today at ESPN, we know they've gone through staffing changes. Yeah. And so it's just different people, right? Like, you know this, we talk to people every day. Mm-hmm. One person will tell you, Kevin Durant's already a top five player all time. Another player will tell you, well, he's not even top 50 yet. He hasn't done enough yet. He hasn't been around the league enough yet. So it's so subjective, which I guess part of the reason is for us to have these conversations.
Right. Which I can appreciate, Tone. I can appreciate Kevin Durant being, I think I got him 16 all time as a top 20 player. But to move him in the top 12, you know, and Curry to be 16, because I think that Curry is better. I think the KD needed Curry more than Curry needed KD. And I think that Curry...
Well, Curry won a chip without KD. KD's never won a chip without Curry.
And I was back-to-back league MVP before you showed up. Yep. So I was already doing my thing.
Yeah. Everyone says, well, KD went to the Warriors and he was the best player and they won. And I said, yeah, but that's because Curry purposely took a step back.
That's exactly why, Tone. That's absolutely why he did that. So I can appreciate this list. And this is great, man. This is great because a lot of these people like Jordan, James, Jabbar, Magic, Chamberlain, we don't talk nearly as much. And I got to say this again, one more time for the people in the cheap seats. Hey, Tone, just so you know, from 1959 to 1973, there was a guy who played in the NBA. His name was Wilt Chamberlain. He did play in the NBA. I know that you don't want to hear that, but he did. There was a guy that played in the NBA named Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, I know you don't want to hear it, Tone.
I believe in George Marcus more than I believe in Wilt Chamberlain. For those that don't know, George Marcus was Wilt Chamberlain in high school playing professional basketball and putting up like 70 points a game.
They kind of skim over. They kind of skim over Chamberlain in the top five. It's Jordan, James, Jabbar, Magic, Chamberlain, Russell. Bill Russell did this. Bird did that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Rewind. Every major record in NBA history has Chamberlain's name attached. Everyone.
Or he held it at one time.
At one time.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Chamberlain. Because he didn't win
as much,
because he didn't win as much, because people, he comes across as an a-hole. I'll be nice about it. You don't like him. You don't just think of the story. Him and Bill Russell are in an elevator and a nice unassuming man walks in and says, how's the weather up there? And he spits on him and says, it's raining. It was Jabbar. It was him and Jabbar. You're right. Well, that's why people don't like Wilt, like, because the story's like that, because we know he exaggerated certain things. So we assume he exaggerated everything, because some of the things he did, just think about it. If I told you, if you didn't know anything about basketball and I told you, listen, they play 48 minutes a game. The average, you know, score on average is about 100 points, right? Give or take. Every year it goes up, you know, it might be up to 110. It might be as low as 95, but 100 points on average. And there's a guy who played 48.5 minutes for a season. In a game that plays 48 minutes, he played 48.5 minutes a game for the entire season, scored 100 points that season, and averaged over 50 points a game. You wouldn't believe me. How you wouldn't? I said, if you're a non-basketball fan and I told you that, would you believe me?
It'd be difficult to sell.
But this guy actually did it. This guy actually did it.
You're telling me that there's a team that averages 100 points a game and this dude averages half of it.
Half of it. One guy.
Not two or three guys. You're telling me one guy.
One guy.
Half of the points on the team. And they're winning too, by the way. It's not like they're trash.
No. Yeah. Good. And one of those games, he scored 100.
Yeah.
And also he averaged more minutes than they play.
Yeah. That's nuts.
That's nuts.
I look at this list, Tone, and like you said, it is subjective. There are some people in there because, like, I'm having a difficult time with putting Barkley ahead of Malone. I don't think Barkley was better than Malone.
No, I don't like that either.
I don't.
And I like Barkley. You know, I really like Charles Barkley. But
Charles Barkley, absolutely. I think that Olajuwon is a top 10 player all time.
100%. 100%. He's one of the most, not the most, but he is one of the most forgotten or disrespected or underappreciated players, I think, Hakeem Olajuwon. People forget how good he was because not only was he, like, ridiculously skilled offensively, footwork, defensively, too. He's an MVP. Here's an MVP depoy. How many people win both?
Jalen Rose said something yesterday which really touched me. When he said, I've never been on the court. The only two players that I've ever been on the court with in my playing career who were the best player offensively and defensively. And that was Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. I've never been on the floor with anybody that I can honestly say was the best offensive player on the floor and the best defensive player on the floor, except Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan.
And yeah, I think top 10. I think even maybe even top 10 might be too low for I've got him in my top 10, but I don't know. Maybe we're forgetting how good he was. So speaking of the top two or three players, I got to tell you, I know you have LeBron 1. And I have Jordan 1, and we've talked about this a lot. And everyone talks about it maybe too much. But that being said, ESPN came out with their rankings, and they had Jordan 1 and LeBron 2. And that's okay. Like, you know me. I've said a million times, there's a case. If you want to make a case for Jordan, LeBron, Kareem being 1, I'm with you. I get some have Wilt, some have Russell. I get the – but those are the three most common ones. If you make it – you can make a case for any one of those three, and you won't hear – kind of a you're crazy for me. I might say, hey, that stat is wrong that you gave, but I'll never say, you know, you're crazy.
If you came to me, Tone, with your list and your list said Jabbar James Jordan, or it said James Jabbar Jordan, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I got no problem. I understand because it depends on just what you look at.
I got no problem.
That being said, I got to tell you, man, it kind of rubs, LeBron rubs me the wrong way. Because when I think it was when that list came out, he's kind of making his case for like, no, I'm the GOAT. I'm number one. You don't have to say it. I get it. Muhammad Ali used to say, I'm the greatest. But that's not who LeBron James is. Had it been him the whole, like had LeBron James always said, I'm the greatest, like it was his shtick, right? Like with Muhammad Ali, I'm okay with it. But to see a list say, no, I'm number one, basically. I know I'm paraphrasing stuff here, but you don't have to say it. Trust me. There are enough people in this world saying you're number one. You don't have to say it. And so, I don't know, since you're a LeBron guy, do you care that he says I'm number one? Does it rub you the wrong way too? Or is it just, hey, man, like, it is what it is?
Number one, I didn't hear him say it. And I think that the only reason why this is going on is because of this list and because they're ranking people. So it's natural to say, well, I'm better than him. I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. So when you're jockeying for position, of course I'm going to say I'm the best. When the politically correct answer is, you know, it doesn't matter where you put me. I'm just honored to be here. But in reality, a lot of these guys really feel like I'm the best. And you can't.
Oh, you have to feel that you're the best. Both you and I have both played at a very high level.
Absolutely.
You have to think that you're the best. But there's a difference between like when you ask, again, I'm going to compare him to the other guy, right? When you ask Jordan, are you the greatest of all time? And he's like, he said multiple times, I go, I'm not comfortable saying that because I never got to play against Kareem and right. Wilt and Oscar and Jerry West. He has so much respect for the past. Mm-hmm. And LeBron used to. LeBron used to do that. He used to say, oh, no, like those guys before me, heck, if it wasn't. And he still says this to this day. You know, Michael Jordan inspired me. The way I wear my shorts, the way I do this, the number I wear, it's all because of him. So, like, just leave it. Let the other people, like, figure out who's the best, because in reality, we'll never know, because it's so subjective, and they're all, everyone on that top 75 list thinks they're the best, right? Like, even just remember that the thing from Charles Barkley. He's like, man, I had my best game ever in that NBA Finals. I was crazy. I scored like 40 something points, because that was the first time. Think about it. It was the first time ever in my life. And the Bulls still won, and Jordan still outplayed me. It was the first time ever in my life I thought there was a better player than me.
Right. And this is a dude that was in his prime talking about, I don't think nobody's better than me.
Because that's how you're supposed to think, right? Right. So that's, I just, if it's true, because he didn't say it to me directly. I always say, just let other people argue about it, because at the end of the day, Jordan's happy with his career. LeBron's happy with his career. Magic maybe not. Magic's happy with his career. Like, they're done.
Well, I've always felt like that, Tone. I've always felt like that's something that you guys argue about. Now, we might get together between us behind closed doors.
Sure. Yeah. You hear Jordan challenging Magic to one-on-one.
And Tone, let me make sure we clear. He was dead serious too. He didn't just say that as hyperbole. He was dead serious. Oh, where your shoes at? And not just Magic. He wanted to get it on with all of those guys.
I'm sure he would have probably beat them too, because they don't have the sickness that he has. Yeah. And I'm sorry, it is a sick.
This dude is almost 60 years old, and it doesn't go away. I still want to get it on. Still, where your shoes at? We can go to the park right now. Let's go. AJ, you know that you're almost 60 and we don't play basketball no more. I don't care. Go get your shoes. Let's go. Oh my God.
I'm going to break something before I stop. All right. We're going to stick with LeBron James. Mm-hmm. So we put it out there to the listeners, to the viewers. And we said, send us your conspiracy theories that you want us to talk about. Sports, non-sports, anything. I don't want to say overwhelmingly, but the number one, I gave each one a tick. And I said, we're going to go through the list on which was the most asked for and which was the least. So I'm going to start this week's conspiracy theory with, I'm going to read you some quotes. Okay. I'm going to read you some quotes, and then I'll tell you, and then we'll talk about the conspiracy. So this is from George Karl. We all know George Karl used to coach of the Supersonics, the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Well respected.
What do you say, coach?
I'm talking about performance enhancing drugs like steroids, human growth hormone, and so on. It's obvious some of our players are doping. How are some guys getting older, yet thinner and fitter? How are they recovering from injuries so fast? Why the hell are they going to Germany in the offseason? I doubt it's for the sauerkraut. More likely, it's for the newest, hard-to-detect blood boosters and PEDs they have in Europe. Unfortunately, drug testing always seems to be a couple steps behind drug hiding. Lance Armstrong never failed a drug test. There are other recent examples that could be misconstrued as PED chatter, like when Derrick Rose seemed to confirm a high level of juiced NBA players in an ESPN The Magazine article, but then reneged when the article was published and claimed he didn't remember the question. Around the time Carl's book dropped, Rip Hamilton said, might be an issue with PEDs. So you've had George Karl, Derrick Rose, who then took it back, Rip Hamilton. This is from Bill Simmons, podcaster Bill Simmons. Mm-hmm. Big Bill Simmons. He was met with a lot of backlash when he said this. However, he floated the idea that LeBron wasn't the same player early in 2015. Like, it was our fault that LeBron was playing below the rim for the first 2 months and the Cavs were a complete mess. I'm sorry for pointing that out, everybody. Basically what he said, well, here, let me read his quote. LeBron James looked like he was entering another phase of his career. He got a lot of miles on him, looked different in how he was playing. Went away for 2 weeks, came back, and now he's playing lights out. Basically, he has been a 29.6 assist, 6 rebound, 50% shooting. He looks like LeBron James again. So I skipped some stuff there. Obviously, I wasn't going to read the whole article, but basically it was back when LeBron James went back to Cleveland in his first year, and people were questioning, oh, he doesn't look like the same LeBron James. He's playing below the rim. Then they give him that 2 weeks vacation where he goes to Miami and re-energizes and comes back. And people are tying that to, you know, one of the guys in the Balco scandal is based out of Miami and was given the, you know, steroids to all the PEDs, excuse me, to all the baseball players and said, you know, he has had a relationship with LeBron James. So the conspiracy, if you hadn't figured it out, is has LeBron James benefited from the use of HGH? And I guess part two of that is, why have there been so few people in basketball in comparison to other sports caught with HGH? Because we know they're doing it, but who do they get? They get the Matt Geigers and the, you know, Joakim Noahs, and I'm trying to remember Wilson Chandler. They get those guys, but you don't really see it as much as you, you know, with baseball and some other sports. So the question, I guess, is this: do you believe that LeBron James has benefited from the use of HGH?
Well, the one thing that I'm confident in, when you deal with a conspiracy, it's more than one person. And if there's more than one person, then it means it's going to come out. Now, when you're talking about pro basketball, playing at a high level, right, and playing for that long, naturally lifting weights, naturally just being on the track, there are supplements. Excuse me, there are supplements that help me take care of my body legally.
Mm-hmm.
There are supplements to help me recover legally. So these guys absolutely take those, right? These guys absolutely take those, which I can appreciate that all day long. But when you get to a point where I'm in year 11, I'm in year 12, I'm in year 14, and I'm just trying to stick around, there is a realistic possibility that I might entertain taking something that would help me stick around. Now, I will tell you this, Tone, and I've said this in the past. When you're dealing with a conspiracy, there's more than one person, and everybody's not going to be quiet. And the reason why everybody's not going to be quiet, because somebody is not happy. So if this is going on, this is going to come out.
I want to say, and let me go back a step first before I say what I'm about to say. Mark Cuban has come out and said, you know what? Let them. We have these drugs, and under, you know, doctor supervision, they can be safely used to enhance performance and longevity and the healing process. And I'd rather have doctors out in the open doing it the right way versus kind of backdoor, you know, you remember, you know, hear stories of Jose Canseco shoving a needle into Mark McGuire's butt.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And you know why I love that? Because Jose Canseco made it clear to all of us, not only was Mark McGuire on the juice, where do you think he was getting it from?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I'd rather have a doctor doing it than Jose Canseco. No offense, Jose. So to think that these guys aren't pushing the line of what's legal and not, I think is a little naive. So do I think everybody to a certain extent has used something? Probably. Because really, why is HGH banned in the NBA? Well, it's because the IOC banned it in the Olympics. And they're like the most corrupt organization in the world. So I don't know that I want to follow their lead. Let's be honest. You laugh, but it's true, right?
No, it's a fact. I'm laughing because it's a fact.
So. Yeah, it's, you know, so this is one of, those conspiracies where I'm like, yeah, I think he has used HGH, and I think it has made him a better player and prolonged his career, but I don't care.
Because
here's the thing. I'm fighting that Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not keeping players out because of that, just because the big name, everybody was doing something. So I don't know. I guess I'm torn here a little bit.
Also remember too, Tone, that in basketball, when you can't equate basketball with steroids, because when you think about steroids, you think about football players, you think about weightlifting, you think about guys getting huge. Well, that doesn't correlate with basketball. So that's why basketball has always been this far away from steroids, because basketball players don't take steroids because they run so much, because they're so active. If basketball players don't take steroids, well, there's different levels of steroids. Now, when I think about LeBron James taking, or when I think about him, I'm not completely oblivious to the idea that I'm going to need something to help me.
Sure.
Because I am going to age, and I'm not going to be able to run as fast as I
do. Do people really know kind of the main purpose of HGH? Because I think that's part of it, is we think that, like you said, it's for building muscles and being big, strong, bodybuild. No. The two best things about HGH, I'm not suggesting you use them, I'm just saying, is there's an anti-aging kind of advantage to it. It slows down that, but also it helps you recover faster. That's actually the biggest. You can't just, I always tell people, you can't just pump your body full of steroids and all of a sudden you're going to be jacked. No, you got to put in the work. What it helps you do is put in that work more often because you recover faster. So that's the misconception. I think it's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, take this shot and all of a sudden I'm going to turn into Popeye with his spinach. No. I mean, that's not how it works.
My knee hurts. And instead of me being out for 3 days, I can get right back at it tomorrow. Yeah. So it's a big deal. That's a huge deal.
Yeah. That's why I say like Barry Bonds, like people say, oh, it's because he took steroids. I said, yeah, you go hit a baseball. If you don't think Barry Bonds is the most skilled hitter ever in the history of baseball, you go do it. Pump all the steroids you want. Nothing to do with you're never hitting that ball. Like it's that's ridiculous. So I think we might have found a conspiracy that might actually be true.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comments. What do you think? Is it okay that players use HGH to be better and recover faster? Or are we being too easy on them? Should we crack down and get them all out of the sport, get them all out of the Hall of Fame? Let us know what you think in the comments. Because now we go to your questions because it's time for... All right, here we go. Three great questions. That's why I said to you, wait, because I knew, obviously. Is the dunk contest dead? Again.
Tone, how many times have we changed the dunk contest since years in the past? They changed it in 2005, and then they changed it again. And the fanfare—I haven't watched the dunk contest since 2016 when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were in it. I watched a little bit of it. I caught a glimpse of it last year when Derrick Jones Jr. was in it. But since then, I haven't watched the dunk contest. I don't have much interest in it at all, Tone. I really don't.
I think, you know, I said this to you before too. I think it's dead. Again, but I also think it will be revived again because I said this to you yesterday, right? The 80s, it was dead. And then Jordan and Neek. In the 90s, it was dead. And then, you know, it was like Kobe and Jay Rich. There was like guys that came out. Maybe Jay Rich was in the 2000s, but Kobe and others. Yeah. Then it was dead. What year was, I always forget because he's played for, what Vince Carter play for? 30 years in the, 30 years in the, was that the 90s or the 2000s? It was 2000, right? It was dead. And then Vince, you know, half man, half amazing, revived it. Then it was kind of dead again. And then Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, like it's always been cyclical. And even just yesterday, I had a guy say on our live on TikTok, 8 p.m. Eastern on Mondays, said to me, it's dead. All the dunks have been done. But like, that's what we keep saying, right? Jordan's era was all done. Vince Carter, what's he going to do? All the dunks have been done. Oh, my God, he did all these dunks we've never seen before, right? And then it was, you know, they just keep moving. And I think it's in that stage where there's going to be a lull. I also think there's a problem because the stars don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it, who were the top two scorers in the NBA in the 80s? Jordan and Neek, they're in the dunk-off. Right, Vince Carter was one of the biggest stars, or maybe that made him the biggest star. But he was a superstar player, like he was a franchise player. And you know, Dwight Howard when he was in Orlando, he was a superstar player, right? But we don't see guys, and I'm not knocking him for this, but we never saw LeBron James, who would have been phenomenal to see. You know, we don't see those top tier guys really do it anymore. And this is no disrespect to Cole Anthony and whoever else was in it. But there is some name cachet. Like if this year's dunk off was Ja Morant, who else are pretty amazing. Ja is the first one that pops into my head. But if
it, Jones Jr.
There, like, if it was the, I know Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon are, you know, kind of done. But like if it was a caliber of player, like a name recognition for guys, I think it's almost not as much about the dunk as it is the name and the showmanship, right? Like the one thing that was so incredible about Vince Carter, right? After he dunks and he walks, it's over, right? It's that he points up to the sky. Like all that stuff plays into the dunk.
And not only that, Tom, what it does-
Showmanship.
It increases your popularity too. Because to be honest with you, I don't care about Toronto before I see that. Now all of a sudden, I'm watching Toronto. I want to see what's going on up in Toronto.
Yeah.
I care now what they're doing. And when you talk about the best players, the best dunkers aren't in it. Like I, like we talked about this earlier, Tom. The best long ball shooters are in the long ball competition.
Yep.
The skilled players are in. That's why I dig the skills competition, because the most skilled players in the game are in the competition. They're not doing that in the dunk contest. Add that to the fact that when people say, well, we've already seen these dunks, that's like saying, well, we've already seen this player. Well, he can't do this better than him. I could still do a windmill, but I'm pretty sure if he did it better, because when I saw Vince Carter do a 360 windmill, I was like, I never seen that before.
Here, let me tell you something. I've seen two dunks not in the NBA dunk contest that I'm sure an NBA player can do. It was a 360 between the legs. I also have seen a 720.
I've seen the 720 also.
So do that. Yeah. So do that. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's things you can do to make it like even the same dunk. Like, you know, that kind of stuff, I think. So we agree it's dead, but so. Maybe not for long. Like, do we think it comes back, depending?
It's definitely, it comes back around. So at some point, it will come back around.
And that's why I still watch it. Because I'm just waiting for that. Who's that? Yeah. That next time? Because I don't want to. Do you want to wake up? Do you want to wake up Monday morning and be like, there was a Vince Carter-esque dunk off and we missed it?
No, I don't want
to. I don't want to do that. Like, so okay. All right, next one. NFL now. Are we seeing the dawn of the NFL super team? And he in parentheses has the LA Rams. So the LA Rams went all in. They traded for a quarterback. They signed Von Miller. They signed OBJ, and they won the Super Bowl. So are we going to see teams now kind of mortgage their future a little bit and just go all in for a super team just to get one Super Bowl?
Didn't Tampa do that last year? Because it wasn't like that group that they had with Jameis Winston. That was the same group. No, we got a new quarterback.
No, new quarterback. Brought in Gronk. Brought in AB. Yep.
Absolutely. So. The difference with the
Super and Leonard Fournette. I always forget about him and Fournette. They brought him.
Fournette, he's very important. But the difference with the super teams in pro basketball as opposed to pro football is pro football, we can't keep these guys together long. Like in pro basketball, we can keep these guys together for 2, 3, 4 years. In pro football, we might, if we're lucky, we can keep this group together 2 years because of the salary cap and because free agency. Yeah. These guys don't
stay together. Hard cap. It's not like the NBA with a soft cap.
We can't keep these guys together. So, to answer your question, Tom, I think that this has been going on. It just won't be long.
I don't believe in super teams. So I guess the answer is no, because not in the NBA, because there's not a super team. Sorry. There's teams that play super. Just because you bring stars together, just because you add Gary Payton and Karl Malone to Kobe Bryant and Shaq, and people want to call that a super team, I don't care. They didn't win. Why didn't they win? Because they didn't play super. So I think if you, as long as you're doing stuff under the rules of the game, it's not a super team. It's a really good team. You know, I've told you, I'd rather call it a constellation team, a grouping of stars. The whole thing of a super team, did we ever call the 80 Celtics a super team?
The Lakers were a super team.
Did we call the Celtics a super team in the 80s? They had six Hall of Famers on that team.
How about the Lakers?
Did we call the Lakers a super team?
Right, the 80s Lakers, Jamal Williams, Bob, Magic. They had a ball.
I don't even think you said Worthy, right? Yeah. Was that a super team? No. was Jordan, Pippen, Rodman a super team?
No.
Did we call them that? Heck, did we even call hold on? Did we even call the Celtics when they traded for Ray Allen and KG? Did we call them a super team? No, we just said, oh, it's a big three. We just said, hey, there's three big star players coming together. It's the big three. The narrative of super team was created for two reasons, and both of them have to do with LeBron James.
I was making sure
one as a positive and one as a negative. Mm-hmm. So people who support LeBron James say, well, you know, of course he couldn't win. He was going against the Spurs super team and the Warriors super team. Nonsense. And the others who want to go against LeBron James say, oh, LeBron James created the super team. He got Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and went to Miami all together. They colluded as free agents because people forget Dwayne Wade was a free agent, that he could have gone anywhere too. So those three, and they colluded and they made the super team in Miami, not just to win one, not to win two or three or four or five. That's not a super team, bro. It's not, because a super team is a team. You need how many players to put a roster? 13, 15? Mm-hmm. You need how many people to play their role? At least 10, maybe 8 if you're lucky. You can't do it with 3 or 4 superstars. You can't. And so, you know, and then it was, oh, KD went to the Warriors, unbeatable super team. No, dude, they played super, but guess what? They could have had injuries. They could have been at war with each other and not won anything. In fact, look what happened in their, they couldn't even three-peat. That super team kept KD, Curry, Clay, Draymond all together, and they couldn't three-peat. Why? Oh, injuries. Okay. That's why super team is for me, just a thing to try and create a narrative. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I'm just, and maybe I'm going to die on this hill that I shouldn't. But that's why I just said, no. Did the Rams do anything illegal? Did they No. Did anybody go there and say, oh, you know, hey, pay me under the table or just, you know, give me the minimum salary? No, they did it the right way. They saw holes. They plugged those holes with the best available player. Mm-hmm. I would do the same. Anyone who says super team suck, you know what? Who's your favorite team? Oh, it's Sacramento Kings? Okay. Sacramento Kings have 3 super max contracts available and they're going to sign, I don't know. Okay, maybe I'll go back. They're going to sign Curry, KD, and LeBron. They have enough room and all 3 of them want to come play together. Anybody in Sacramento complaining?
No. In fact, they're pretty happy about that.
Everybody else might complain. So that's why I'm over the super team narrative. I think you do what you got to do to put the best team on the court. And if they win, good. If they don't win, well, too bad. Right? You still have to play the games. And so, like, Brooklyn was a super team. How's Brooklyn looking this year?
Not really good.
Lakers were a super team. Right? Oh, they got Westbrook and AD and LeBron. And how are my Lakers looking?
Not good at all.
Do they look super?
Super whack, as a matter of fact.
That's what hey.
Super whack. Let's put it out there. That's what they're looking like. Super whack.
So is it the dawn of the super team? I don't believe in the super team, so I'm going to say no. But is it the dawn of, hey, bringing in guys for a year to – haven't they always done that? Hasn't the NFL always kind of tried to bring in that one guy to go for a run? They've always done that. So I don't know if that answers the question, but there it is. All right, last one. This is your fault, by the way, this question. This was your fault. Should I, can I date my best friend's ex-girlfriend, sister, or mom?
No, you cannot. You know why you can't do that? Hang on for 1 second.
Because look what happened to Delonte West after he dated LeBron's mom. Is that where you're going to go?
So let's make sure that we clear. All right. You and me, when we sign up to be best friends, right? Me and my best friend, we've been best friends since the 5th grade. I know every girl that he's ever been around. He knows every girl that I ever been around. So with that being said, we made a pact. Wives, girlfriends, ex-girlfriends are off limits. When we sign up, this is what it is. I only know this girl because of you. So when you break up with her, I break up with her. If I'm scheming or if I'm asking you if I could date her after you and her have been together for 2 years, that means that I had my eye on her while y'all were going out.
Well, what if y'all met her at the same time and you wanted to, but you beat me to the punch?
And you know what that means? That means that's the pact that we had.
Okay.
I'm starting off.
Okay.
We both meet this girl and I think she's nice. One of us goes, then you have her. Now, you two go out and y'all been dating for 2 or 3 years and it ends. Then it ends with all of us. It doesn't just, it's not my turn now. No, that's not the way that works. When we get together as best friends, there is no, well, what if you only dated her for 6 months? Listen, if she's your girlfriend, Tone, if she's your wife, she's off limits to me. If she's a girl that you might've messed around with, because I've had my best friend put me on to a girl that he wasn't really that interested in. They went out once or twice. And then he put me on to her like, yo, you might like this girl. And I went out with her. But they weren't like that.
They weren't like that. Okay.
They weren't wife. It was nothing like that. Y'all only hung out with her once or twice. So maybe you might like her. And that went on. And I wasn't really interested in her after that. But that's fine. As opposed to, yo, me and this girl have been together for 3 years. And she's been hanging around all this time.
Okay. So I'll just be clear. If you've had a long-term relationship, it's off limits. If it's just kind of like a, you know, nothing.
No.
That's different. Okay.
Absolutely.
What about sisters?
No, and you know why? And you know why, Tom?
Because when it doesn't work?
Well, not only that, when it doesn't work, you and me are best friends. So you and me are best friends. That means that you and me are pretty much, we got a lot of things in common. So you know how I am, right?
Fair.
Yeah, you know how I am. So with you knowing how I am, I don't want you hanging around my sister. No, absolutely not. I don't want you hanging around my sister. No way.
And same goal with moms?
Absolutely.
What if we're friends and like I'm a lot older than you are and moms is a young mom? Like you're 20, I'm 30. Moms is, you know, 35.
Are we best? Let's make sure that we get to the bottom of this, Tom.
Okay, so friends is different than best friends.
Absolutely.
All right. So right. if we just like cool, we know each other from the neighborhood. Right. All bets are off. That's but if something. We like if we like people, then
you my man. Like, and when I say my man, I know stuff about you. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. That's the stuff that I know about this dude. So
right. Yeah. So, like if I'm carrying the shovel. We don't mess around that other right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. He know where the bodies are.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Because when I saw it, you were like, you got to go to page 6, paragraph 3. And I'm like, oh, no, man. Like, all right. But I think, all right, you convinced me. So to the person who I think saw your post on TikTok and then posed it as a question to us, there you go. If it's your best person, then it's off limits. If it's just someone, you know from around the way, it's fine. I guess the question is this. I guess you got to ask yourself, if this decision to date that person, and if I say, okay, I'm going to date that person, that ex, that mom, that sister, whatever, it will end that friendship. Are you okay with that friendship ending? If you're okay with that friendship ending, then go ahead. If not, then it's off limits. All right. Woo, that's another good one. That's another good episode of Fluent and Chill. Don't forget to check us out. On Friday, we'll be bringing you more hot stuff. And then, of course, Monday is live, 8 p.m. on TikTok. But until then,
take it light. Take it.